we've been talking about the doctrine of God, and in the doctrine of God, we have inside subtitles, I guess, would be the doctrine of creation. And so we want to understand this, and I know I've done something on this in the past, but this will be a little bit more in-depth tonight, and if we don't finish it, we'll finish up next week because I got a lot of slides. Usually it's about 18. I think there's 26 or 7 tonight. So we'll see. We won't go overtime. But inside the doctrine of God, you say, why would creation fall under the doctrine of God? Because it tells us part of who He is. God created the world. We believe, as Bible-believing Christians, that God created the world. Now, where some Christians disagree, we'll talk about in a minute, is how exactly He did that. So what we'll do tonight is look at some secular theories and then what Christians believe, what every Christian has to believe. And then there are some things in here where good Bible-believing Christians can actually disagree on them and it not cause too much friction. So there we go. All right. So why would we study the creation? First of all, the Bible places a great significance on it. It's in the beginning. That's where it starts. God created the heavens and the earth. We have to understand creation to understand who God is. It also shapes our understandings of other doctrines as well. For instance, the atonement. If God created everything, God's in charge of everything. We can go to the doctrine of providence, the doctrine of free will. All these things are based upon our understanding of creation. It also differentiates us between other religions. No other religion believes the way we do, and that, God created the heavens and the earth and that God's in control of everything. There are people that believe parts of that, but they don't believe all of it. Then the other thing is it opens dialogue with science. I have a ongoing conversation with one of my friends who doesn't go to church anywhere, and we just go back and forth about how old the church is. How old the earth is. I'm not dogmatic on one stance or the other, but as far as he knows, I am dogmatic. And so we mess around, and he's strictly by science. And I point out to him all these ways that science has failed us over the years. For instance, they used to think the earth was flat, and now they've changed on that. We used to think the world didn't revolve around the sun. And so I said, things change. And I said, science changed, but the Word of God doesn't. And, and then we come back with, he's 4.5 billion years. And then I say, no, it's 10,000 years old. But it opens dialogue. And we talk about it in a way that's non-combative at all. Now, creation, when we start talking about it, there's a Latin phrase called ex nihilo. And it means out of nothing is used. In other words, God created the world out of nothing. Bara is used for, there are some people that disagree, but most of the time in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, bara is used only when God creates something. When man creates something, it's asa. There's a different term. So in the beginning, God created is bara. So in other words, man had nothing to do with this creation. Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. So there you see that the Lord made the heavens. Psalm 33:9, for he spoke and it came to be, he commanded and it stood firm. Then John 1:3 says, through him, this is Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In other words, Jesus, everything was made through him. And for him, we see in Romans. Now, in the spiritual universe, when we talk about that, God created the heavens. He didn't just create the earth, he created the heavens. Revelation 10:6 says, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them. God created angels. In Colossians 1:16, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. There are angelic beings here. Visible and invisible, that's the angels, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. God, it wasn't that when God started existing that all these other things were there. God created all these things. So then we go to the creation of man, and that is so small, I'm going to turn this way. In Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and a man became a living being. Then he created woman. I don't have to read that to you. So God creates man, and then he creates woman from man, as we see there in the next part of Genesis. Creation is distinct from God, yet it is dependent upon God. In other words, creation is apart from God. God created something separate, but he's the one that did it. God is above his own creation, but he's actively involved. God is greater than his own creation. Acts 17:25 says, "And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else." Hebrews 1:3 says, "The Son and the radiance is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining," there's a key word, "sustaining all things by his powerful word." In other words, God not only creates it, he sustains it. He holds it together. So why creation? In other words, why? Why couldn't God just continue being without us? God did not have to create the earth, understand that, but he did so for his glory. And then understand two parts of that. He didn't have to create us, then he didn't. He also didn't have to do it for his glory, but that's why he did it. He wouldn't be any less glorious if he didn't create the earth. Psalm 19, 1 and 2 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands." Revelation 4, 11, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have being." Now, we get into a little bit more of the technical part of theology. God's creation was not dualism. In dualism, there is a maker and then the materials that he utilizes. For instance, these guys that are out here working on the playground, they're making a playground, they're erecting, they're putting it together, but they're having to use materials that are already there to put them together. So God didn't come into existence, and then say, "Okay, here's some materials over here." God didn't do that. He did not work on something already existing. If this was the case, God would not be infinite, or something else would have to have already existed with God or before God. Nothing made, understand this, is intrinsically evil. But dualism says since God didn't create everything, evil can exist in some things so that God can't be blamed for sin. In other words, God didn't create all this matter. He used the matter to make us, and since he didn't create everything, and you know there's some evil stuff in the world, we really can't blame God. Well, we don't blame God for sin anyway. Human sin comes from human freedom. It doesn't come from anything that God did. But the dualist part says that, you know, this chair is evil, and if it does something, and that's not what we believe. Now, creation also guards against appreciating the incarnation. If the body was evil, then Christ could not become flesh, right? Because Christ can't be evil. He's sinless and perfect. So Christ couldn't take the form because it's not the flesh it's that itself is evil. It's us. It's human beings. Creationism also guards against asceticism. When people believe the physical is evil, and you've probably heard or read about some of this, they shun the body and all types of human satisfaction. You've seen this through, if you've studied church history at all, some people, especially in the Roman Catholic world, they go to these extremes and they deprive themselves of anything and any human satisfaction. They don't eat, and some of them even do crazy things to themselves. They beat themselves and things like that because the body's evil. Creationism causes us to be good stewards of his creation. Now, we could elaborate on this, but I'm not going to get too technical on this. But we do understand that God created everything, that we ought to be good stewards of not only our bodies and our times and ourselves, but we ought to be good stewards of the planet that God gives us and take care of the things around us. Now, we get into creation and science, and there's this tension, and it's been there since the dawn of man or since people started studying science. And there are different ways where there's this tension for some people, and then for some people it's not. And there are different forms of science. As you see, we have astrology, geology, biology, and anthropology, and I'm sure there are more. When we look at astrology, we look at Copernicus, who come out with this crazy false teaching about the sun and everything revolving around the sun. And he was actually deemed a heretic by the Roman Catholic Church. Turns out he was right. But at the time, you know, the church said he was wrong. So there was some tension there. Now, there's not that much of an issue with this astrology anymore. Then we have geology, which is still an issue. The age of the earth. We'll talk about that in a minute. Then we have biology, which we'll talk about just a little bit, which is the evolution. Now, when we talk about evolution, we're talking more about macroevolution. We don't deny microevolution, which is on a smaller scale. Obviously, there are some things that have evolved in small ways over the world. But when we talk about evolution, it's a macroevolution. In other words, going from a chimpanzee to a human, stuff like that. So there's this tension with science there. Then there's this anthropology, which is the origin of humanity. Where did man even come from? So there's this issue. So we understand now why creation and the doctrine of creation, the doctrine of God, is important, because when we are in the world, everyone doesn't believe like us. Now, there are Christians who differ on the earth's age. In fact, in seminary, I had one teacher believe one thing, one teacher believed another. Most scholars agree that it is impossible to know. So when I tell you this, I say that it's, from my point of view, it's important that we not be overly dogmatic on this. It's nothing to do with salvation by grace or anything like that that we should be dogmatic on. There are good people on both sides of the aisle on this, educated people. We have to understand this. There were no humans around to record the creation. Yeah, Adam and Eve were there, but Adam and Eve didn't write down, hey, this is the time God created us. And they weren't around on the first day, so we don't know. At best, we have a speculated guess. Now, there are people that think they're 100% right, but they're not. Now, theories do not acknowledge God as creator of the universe, such as the Big Bang Theory and Darwinism evolution, those, you know, we don't even, those are secular views of how the earth was created. That, you know, Big Bang, you would go back all the way to really astrology, I guess, on that, the origin. Then if you went to Darwinism, that would be obviously biology and anthropology as well. But these don't acknowledge the creation in the Bible that we talk about. So those things we just kind of throw away. Now, there are some people who still believe this. Don't get me wrong. There are some people who don't believe in a divine, that God created the earth, intelligent design. They believe in the Big Bang Theory. Most people don't believe that. Now, when we move forward a little bit, there is this thing called theistic evolution. And this is people that are trying to branch together part of Darwin's evolution with a theistic, a study of God. Look at it. Organisms came about the way Darwin said, but God guided the process. And we don't have time to study Darwinism and everything, but it, for the most part, he was, you know, survival of the fittest and all these things and how it worked its way up. And it was this evolutionary process that, you know, man came, eventually came from an animal. And theistic evolution says, hey, most of his stuff came about that way, but God guided that process. And this belief says that God intervened in critical points, such as creation of matter as the beginning. In other words, God created all of it from the beginning. And the creation of simpler life form and the creation of man. God intervened in those parts. But for the rest of it, you know, that we kind of go with what Darwin said. God allowed the others to develop the way Darwin stated. So in other words, animals and things like that come about the way Darwin said, but man didn't. Now, the Bible contradicts this because there is no randomness with God. And there's a lot of randomness in this theistic evolution. This theory takes away intelligent design. In other words, it's saying trees and flowers and grass and all those things that originated with God, they just started coming out of things and they just started developing on their own, and God didn't create them because it wasn't important enough for God to intervene only on the beginning of matter and the creation of man. So we really can kind of rule this out in a way. Psalm 33:6 says this, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry hosts and the breasts of the mouth. In other words, God made that. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Genesis 1:11 says, let the land produce vegetations, seed-bearing plants and trees. So God was involved in that. And then 124 says, same thing. I didn't put that right. Anyway, as you see that God was actively involved in that. When Psalm 139 says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. So that lets us know that God is in control of everything. Exodus 4:11, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I? And then God says he makes, or Psalm 104 says he makes the cattle, the grass grow for the cattle and the plains for people to cultivate. So God is in charge of everything. God is in complete control. And the theistic evolution takes that away. Now, and when we start looking at science, even with intentional breeding, which means putting animals together, over the past 100 years, this theory has been proven to be wrong. When dogs are bred with dogs, guess what? They always produce dogs. And so with this other theory that eventually you would get something else, when animals get together enough that they'll produce something else, and that's kind of where this theory comes from, something like a wing on a bird or an eye cannot be produced by tiny mutations over thousands of generations. In other words, that's what they're saying. After 4.5 billion years and all these things keep going, eventually a bird will come out of this and eventually a grasshopper will come out of this. And science really has proven no on this. Many ancient fossils resemble present day animals. What does that mean? A dog was a dog when a dog was created, and it's still a dog. 130 years of research has yet to find a transitional type of fossil. In other words, same thing I just said. The biggest issue is how did life begin in the first place? Now, there are Christian views on this. When we start talking about God's creation, among Christian circles, there are two different views on the age of the earth. There's young earth and there's old earth. The old earth or the young earth theories believe the earth is between 6 and 20,000 years old. Don't know exactly. And then the old earth theorists believe the earth is around 4.5 billion years old. I don't know what you believe. Again, this is one of those doctrines. It's not important to understand exactly the years. And some people say it is. But what's important is to understand that God ordained all of it. And we'll look at some things here. All right, first of all, the old earth theory, is one of them is a gap theory. Between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, there was a gap of millions of years. God created the heavens and the earth. Bam. Millions of years later, he comes back and let there be light. This theory that says God made an earlier creation and there was rebellion, probably Satan. And God judged the earth so it was without form and void. This is a Christian view now because it's still taking the Bible. Genesis 1:3 through 2:3 is actually the second creation. And in the second creation, there were six literal days, and this was 10 to 20,000 years ago. The first creation was around 4.5 billion years ago. This is an old earth theory. Some people believe this is why. In other words, why do we have to say the earth's 4.5? Because there are some fossils that scientists say that are 4.5 billion years old. Then we have the flood theory. This is a young earth theory. This says the earth's only a few thousand years old. The force of the waves in Noah's flood, by the way, form what geologists believe would take 3 billion years. In other words, the force that went into the ground and created all these things, what normally would have took 3 billion years, it created diamonds and all these things, all the force of it, and it happened then. Now, the biggest issue with this theory is even Christian geologists, most of them don't back this up. The geologists don't. But there are some people who hold to this theory and say, hey, God can make anything happen that he wants to happen. I mean, somebody could probably convince me on this. Hey, that's fine. Then we have the day-age view. Now, this is an old earth theory. This goes back to the 4.5 billion years old. And this theory states that the days in Genesis were really long periods of time. In other words, they were not 24-hour days. This view is also called a concordance view because it seeks to be in concordance with the Bible. So scientists don't have a problem with this one. This view states that the Earth's around 4.5 billion years old, and so it agrees with many scientists. Radiometric dating is commonly used with this theory. As I told you, they start using all this. This theory also states that liquid magma takes 1 million years to cool, so there's no way the Earth could only be 20,000 years old. Also, continental drifting could not occur in the young Earth. Now, this view, the scientific view, puts sea creatures ahead of trees and fish before birds. But Genesis contradicts this. This view also puts sun, moon, and stars millions of years after plants and trees. So you say, how could that work? So again, there's some contradiction there. The literary framework view. This is an old earth theory as well. The 6 days in Genesis were not intended to be sequence of chronological events. It's just literary framework. In other words, the author was just printing a picture for you. Didn't mean for you to understand they were in events. It adds up decently. It's pretty fun to look at. Day one, what did God do? He created light and let there be light. Well, then in day four, he created the sun, moon, and stars. Those are lights. Day two, he created the sky and the water. Day five, what did he do? He put something in the sky and the water. He put fish and birds. Day three, he created dry land and the seas. And what did he do on day six? He created the animals and the man to put on there. There are some holes in this one too. This one avoids conflict over science as well and conflicts over Genesis creation. There's no conflict there. Most of Genesis suggests chronological events though. When you read the Bible, there's really no evidence that this is not chronological. And then also when you go back to their literary framework, the picture doesn't add up just perfectly either. So what's happened is people that want to believe science a little more say, oh, the earth has to be this. Well, there's got to be some reason. The Bible wouldn't lie, so it's got to add up. Now, this is a young earth theory. This is called mature creation. And this says, since Adam and Eve appeared as mature adults, this makes sense. Stars, and I don't know much about science. Stars take thousands of years to reach the Earth in light, but the Earth, they probably saw them. They saw the sun, the moon, the stars, and all that. This view states that scientific testing cannot be accurate for billions of years.